Our study tonight is out of the book of Zechariah, chapter 6, verses 9 through 15, Israel's restoration under Messiah as king priest. Zechariah, along with Haggai, called the returning Hebrews back to rebuilding the temple, and he gave God's directives and future hope. Following the eight visions of Zechariah 1, 7 to 6, 8, God gave Zechariah a prophecy in Zechariah 6, 9 to 15 that climaxed these visions with Israel's restoration under Messiah as king priest. And so we'd like to view it for our edification. I want to read the passage, and then we'll look at it. Zechariah 6, 9 through 15. And the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Take of them of the captives, even of Heldai and Tobijah, of Jediah, which are come from Babylon, and come thou the same day, and go into the house of Josiah the son of Zephaniah. Then take silver and gold, and make crowns, and set them upon the head of Joshua the son of Jotzadak, the high priest. And speak unto him, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, saying, Behold the man whose name is the Branch, and he shall grow up out of his place, and he shall build the temple of the Lord. Even he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. He shall be a priest upon his throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. And the crown shall be to Hanum, and to Abijah, and to Jediah, and to Hen, the son of Zephaniah, for a memorial in the temple of the Lord. And they that are far off shall come and build of the temple of the Lord, and ye shall know that the Lord of hosts has sent me unto you. And this shall come to pass, if you will diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God. All right, following the last of eight visions that predicted events leading up to Messiah's kingdom, Zechariah reported that the word of the Lord came to him, indicating this word came when Zechariah was not in a trance, but in a state of regular consciousness. You see, that in the former eight visions, you don't have the word of the Lord being repeated to start each vision, but here you do. And the indication is he's outside of the trance. So God could work through a dream, he could work through a vision to the priest, he could also work directly. And that's what he's doing now. So, Zechariah was to receive, the Hebrew word is lakah, a gift from returned captives, Heldai, Tobijah, and Jediah, that they had just brought from Babylon to finance the rebuilding of the temple. The God's prophet was to go into the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah, who was apparently housing these recent arrivals from Babylon. Incidentally, this indicates that those who show hospitality towards others share in their fellowship for better or for worse, and the same is taught in 2 John verses 8 and 9 and 10 and 11. You remember in 2 John, if anyone comes your way, does bring this doctrine, don't let him in your house. If you let him in your house, you're a partaker of his evil deeds. In other words, if you let him in, you're housing him. If you house him, you're helping him. If you're helping him, you're part of fellowshipping with him. So this is another evidence of this. He was also supposed to go to the house of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah, because he was housing these men. He didn't get the gifts, but he was housing them as they came. So he's a partaker in their deeds. Now this was all to occur the same day that these couriers arrived from Babylon, indicating that the timing of their arrival with the ending of the former eight night visions was all supernaturally arranged by the Lord to indicate a climactic revelation that was now to be given. It's interesting. God had timed those eight visions the night before and then this incident that is to occur. So the timing of these men. And this incident is going to be the capstone. It's going to be the climax of all of those eight visions. Now, Zechariah was to receive silver and gold from these couriers and make a crown. Now, I know it says crowns in the Hebrew text, but it's likely a plural of majesty, or as they say in Latin, pluralis majesticus. The same was as used in Genesis 1, where God says, let us make man in our image. He's not referring to multiple persons of the Godhead. What he's referring to is himself as a king. God is a king. And as a king, he refers to himself in the plural. So that's what's going on here as well. place it on the head of Joshua, the high priest, and tell the high priest that God said that the man whose name Jeremiah, the prophet, had predicted in Jeremiah 33:15 would be the branch that would spring up as a shoot from the cut-off stump of David's royal line. He would grow up out of his place and build the millennial temple. Now, it's interesting. The word branch is kind of like a shoot. So when Jesus first appeared in his earthly ministry, he didn't appear as a great big king, you know, like the big tree. It was a little sprig. It was popping off, you know, as you cut the tree off the stump, just below the stump line, there's a sprig that comes up, and the shoot starts to come up. And that's what Jesus did. He started in Nazareth, in Galilee, very modest beginnings there, but of course he would become King of Kings and Lord of Lords on his throne. So this Messiah, the branch, or the sprig, would bear the glory and sit and rule on his throne, being a priest on his throne. That's unusual. And the council of peace would be between the offices of king and priest, as they would both reside in him. Now, this is amazing because up until now, the high priest would never serve as a king. And the king would never serve as a priest. Remember one time one of the kings went in and tried to act like a priest, and he was struck with leprosy. God did not want the king acting like a priest, and he did not want the priest acting like a king. But in Jesus Christ, that's going to be united. He's our priest and king. In fact, Psalm 110 talks about the fact that God's making him a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. Well, Zechariah, this crown was not given to Zerubbabel, though Zerubbabel was next in line for the Davidic throne. In fact, if you check the lineage of Joseph, who would be the husband of Mary in Matthew chapter 1, verse 12 and 13, Zerubbabel's one of those men. So Zerubbabel actually was in line. He was in line to be the king. Of course, there's a curse on his line at this particular point. But this crown was not put on Zerubbabel. It was put on the head of a man who could never be Israel's king since he was high priest. And that indicated the offices of king and priest would unite solely in the Messiah, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, Zechariah was directed by the Lord not to keep the crown on the high priest Joshua's head, but that it would be a memorial for the men who had brought the gifts unto their host who housed them, and that this memorial would be placed in the temple that was being rebuilt at the time. Notice, it's a memorial not only to the men who brought the gifts, but it's also a memorial to the man who housed them. He's a partaker of the glory as well. So the involvement of these men in supporting the temple reconstruction would be recalled and rewarded in the millennial kingdom. See, in the millennial kingdom, God's going to recall these men. These men will be raised from the dead, and they're going to receive a special reward because they had looked forward to the building of the temple and they had supported it. And it's interesting, everybody else had come from Babylon with an attitude of materialism. These men came from Babylon with an attitude of liberality, to give of their goods to the just the opposite of the sin. And so the Lord, of course, was absolutely delighted with the attitude of these men. They were not materialistic. They wanted to serve the Lord. Furthermore, God announced that the bringing of these gifts by these returning, the names in verse 14 differ from those in verse 10, either because they are nicknames or they're second names of the men in verse 10. They might just be their nicknames. We don't know. But anyway, furthermore, God announced that the bringing of these gifts by these returning exiles foreshadowed the day when believers from around the world would bring their contributions and help build the temple in the millennial kingdom under the leadership of Israel's Messiah. It's interesting, in the millennial kingdom, when you start off, you're going to have people from every nation, tongue, and tribe who saved, resurrected from the dead as well. And believers from all over the world will have an opportunity to contribute towards the rebuilding of the temple. Of course, the Lord Jesus is going to be rebuilding this temple. But believers worldwide will have the opportunity. Of course, it's going to be a huge temple, that's for sure. But people will do that. And these men bringing these contributions were a foreshadow of that wonderful event that is going to be occurring. Now, the participation of people in this future construction work would be based on their personal obedience to God. And, of course, that obedience would involve believing in the Messiah. The Jews in Zerubbabel's day and in Joshua the high priest's day were responsible to believe in God. And the Jews after them were responsible to receive the Messiah when he came. They're supposed to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. So to the degree that they did, they'd be able to participate in the kingdom and the blessings there. And of course, when the Lord Jesus came, the nation as a whole did not accept it. They rejected him. But as many as received him, to them they gave ye power or the authority to become sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So when returning Hebrew exiles brought gifts with them from Babylon for rebuilding the temple, and they were housed in the home of Josiah, the son of Zephaniah, God had his prophet Zechariah receive their gifts and use them symbolically to crown the high priest Joshua, the son of Jotzadak, to symbolize the uniting of the offices of priest and king and the coming Messiah. The crown would be kept in the temple, being built in Zechariah's era as a lasting memorial to the faith and devotion to the Lord of the couriers from Babylon and the man who housed them, prefiguring when believers worldwide would bring gifts and help Messiah build his millennial temple. Now, according to Jewish tradition, this crown was hung up high in a window in the temple so you could see it from outside. So it was supposed to be in the temple, but they hung it up so everybody could see it from the outside. So as worshipers would show up in the courtyard, they go around and they could say, oh, there's the temple. There's the crown. And it's hanging. We have no reason to doubt that. It just comes from tradition. We don't have scripture on that, but that's apparently what happened. So in application, may we, like the returning exiles from Babylon who contributed to the rebuilding of the temple, and like the man who housed them, be faithfully committed to God's calling for us in our era for God's future reward in his kingdom. I really believe that saints throughout the ages who are committed to doing the will of God in their era are going to receive rewards in the kingdom to come. We're one of those groups of people. And to the degree that we're committed to the Lord in doing the will of God in our lives now, to that degree, we will receive rewards in the millennial kingdom to come. So that's something that is always an exciting. And I reason God mentioned the reward that's going to be to these men. And he's done this before in the book of Zechariah. Is he's causing saints throughout the ages who read this prophecy to look forward to the fact that they have an opportunity to be rewarded by the Lord in the kingdom that is to come too. So we're not exempt from this. We get to get involved in that. But God wants us to be motivated to serve him and to live for him. And then may we also expectantly hope for the rule of our Savior, the Lord Jesus, the King Priest, in his coming kingdom. Boy, what a refreshing thing that's going to be, have the Lord Jesus on the throne ruling in righteousness. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. It's going to be an absolute rule, very different from what's going on today. There's going to be law. There's going to be order. There's going to be peace. There's going to be material blessing, agricultural blessing, health, all of that. And we're looking forward to that kingdom that's coming.